It's the Travel Planner Show with Kevin and Sue McCarthy.
And another semi-regular guest, I think we can say at this point, can't we?
I think we
can.
All
right. Please introduce.
We've had her on a couple different times. Last time was on Thailand. And now Barbara Weibel, who writes for the Hole in the Donut website, which is a terrific one.
Yes,
and
it is.
She is a fantastic photographer, too, has been in the Galapagos Islands as well as Ecuador. So we're going to talk about Ecuador. Welcome, Barbara.
Hi. Thank you very much for having me back.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Ecuador. When and why?
Yeah. Well, I have to say that Ecuador was a big surprise to me. I had always wanted to go to the Galapagos, which is part of Ecuador.
It was okay.
One of the top three destinations on my wish list. And when I had a chance to go, I snapped it up. And I never go to a country for less than a month. So I spent the next couple of months wandering around this tiny little country that was packed full of surprises.
You did have quite a few surprises. Barbara sends me her website, and we have just looked at all your photos. There are some beautiful photos on there, as I was mentioning, and you really do get into the culture of the people themselves.
Yeah, well, that was my question. If we go for a few days, which is not enough, but beyond a couple of weeks, Barbara, are you on an organized tour, or what do you do for a month at a time?
I am rarely on an organized tour. In fact, most of the time I shudder at the thought.
Likewise.
I always buy a one-way ticket into a country, and I start in one place. And if it's a new destination, I will have a couple of nights maybe in a hostel, and then no other reservations after that. And I just stay as long as I like in one place, and then when I'm done with it, I go to the next place and find a place to stay on the day I decide to move. It gives me a lot of flexibility.
Yeah, it does.
But I got to think you run into some surprises as well, I would think.
Well, I think one of the surprises you might run into is the fact that you buy a one-way ticket. They're not asking you about, you planning on staying here?
You know, a lot of countries around the world have on their websites a requirement of having a return ticket in order to enter the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
I have never been asked to show a return ticket.
Huh. Really?
And in
neither
cases,
we think of, but when they stamp your passport, even if you don't require a visa for that country, though, you look at it and it usually says that you're welcome for up to 30 days or 60 days or something. So there's usually a finite period of time associated with travel.
That's right. And in Ecuador, it was 90 days. So I had plenty of time to wander.
So tell us a little bit about where you went in Ecuador. We have you on for two segments, so we should be able to cover quite a few of those.
Let's go.
If you had a favorite part of Ecuador while you were there, what was that?
Well, I was surprised to discover that this small, very small country had such diversity. And there were three, well, let's call them four different zones. One, of course, being the Galapagos, which is otherworldly and unlike anything else you've ever experienced. But then they have the coastal area, the Sierra Mountains in the center of the country. And on the east side, they have the Amazon jungle, which was a complete surprise to me. I had no idea that there was Amazon jungle in Ecuador.
And you actually did get to go fishing in the Amazon for piranha?
I did. I caught a white piranha. And
what'd you do with
it? We threw it back.
Okay.
We were fishing with hunks of raw beef, and those little guys are pretty voracious. And it was the very last piece that I had left, and I put it on my hook, and I said, "All right, guys, this is it. This is the last chance." Drew my line in and tugged just at the right second and brought up this white piranha. And our guide in the boat took the hook out and then opened its mouth and showed us these razor-sharp teeth.
And she does have a photo of that on her website at holeinthedonut.com, too.
Kevin, Tassie last week with swimming
in the Amazon.
In the Amazon where there's piranhas. Now, there's a woman crazier than you.
Well, and that was the next thing out of their mouth. When we get back to camp, you have an opportunity to go swimming in the lagoon. And I said, I don't think so.
I don't think so. No. Beyond that point in my life.
Yeah.
So you also went into not only the Amazon and the waters of Ecuador, but you went into the mountains, into the Andes, and on some zigzag railroads.
I did. The Andes are fascinating for a lot of different reasons. It is really where the bulk of the indigenous population live, and they're called Kichwa, K-I-C-H-U-A. And they're descendants of the Incas that built Machu Picchu and some other earlier civilizations that came before the Incas. And there are a number of, shall we call them very curvy roads and very steep railways that make travel there interesting.
When you travel, Barb, do you travel by yourself or with company?
No, I'm a solo traveler. I prefer it that way because I can go where I want and do what I want. But I often will hook up with other backpackers. I'm staying in the hostels. I'm often in the dorms. And so it's easy to connect with other backpackers that want to do day hikes. Just this morning, I've published a new post on my blog about a little town up in high in the Sierras called Chuchilan, which is part of the Kilitoa Loop. Famous for its hikes, and I hooked up with a younger than me, certainly, a French man and a woman from Australia, and we all hiked for about 5.5 hours up into the mountains to a tiny little cheese factory, which God knows why they would choose that location to manufacture cheese, but they did.
You hiked up the mountain in the Andes. Did you have any problems with the altitude, with the breathing?
I did. And this is one of the things that made Ecuador so challenging for me, because I had no clue before I left that I suffered from altitude sickness.
And, I've had that.
It's horrible. Yeah. And, initially in Quito, which is one of the highest capital cities in the world, I suffered loss of breath, and I would gasp at night from the covers, just the weight of the covers on my chest. But I got used to that. It was a little less than, let's say, about 9,500 feet. So I didn't give it much thought when I went up into the Sierras. And in this particular case, this town of Chuchilan, I arrived. I didn't know that it was almost 11,000 feet high. And went on this hike the very next day, and then I was down for the count for 2 days with altitude sickness.
Yeah, You do have to acclimate. Hopefully you can anyway. And when we come back, I'd like to talk to you a little bit more, for example, of security issues traveling on your own and so on. And what are the overall conditions in Ecuador? It sounds like you've been from the big city to the top of the mountain, so seen it all, been there, done that. Don't go away. We will be right back with more of the Travel Planners Radio Show. Our website, KevinAndSueTravel.com, HoleInTheDonut.com. We'll put you in touch with Barb, and we'll be right back. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Sue McCarthy.
This is the Travel Planners Radio Show, coming to you live on the Global American Broadcasting Network.